With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Hard to Tell podcast episode 44. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca, and our guest friend of the podcast. He is back for the second time. Howard Beck of Bleacher Report, senior writer, right? I don't want to mess.
Senior, yeah, I gotta emphasize that senior.
I like that title, senior.
Took me a long time to get a title like that in this business. You know, like the business card was always like staff writer, MBA reporter, and like. At certain points, like, come on, man, I'm old now. I deserve the senior title. I've been doing this a long time, and like, you get to a certain age, and you think, you know what? Give me a little bit more of a little stature there.
Now, I have a question about that because I mean, I've known you for quite some time, but when you step into a room now, do people look at you differently because of that
because I'm old?
Title. we're all getting old.
They look at me differently because I'm old. Yeah. No, I don't think the senior in my title is giving me any special status. No, the only thing that's changed is that due to the incredible reach and popularity of Zach Lowe and him having popularized the What Up Beck phrase,
What Up Beck.
I get a lot of What Up Becks from random people, often people that I don't even know. And they just, like, if they do recognize me from having been on NBA TV or whatever, I've gotten that in random places.
Kobe should be getting credit for that, though, right?
He should, although, but I mean, but you know, Kobe, created it in a moment, not realizing what he was creating.
Did not realize it.
Zach, in telling that story, made it a thing.
Now it's become a much bigger thing.
Yes, Zach has that power. Although Zach has amazing.
I actually want to ask: do you get tired of that? Do you get tired of that at all?
No,
because
no.
A lot of people do it.
If it happened too much, like I'm not well known enough or recognized enough for that to have gotten. Annoying or old. I find it charming and cool, and it's kind of fun, and I appreciate that people enjoy enough what I do, either with my own writing or when I'm on Zach's podcast. I appreciate the fact that there's this following out there that really kind of digs what we do, and that's kind of a way of showing that they're in that group, right? Like, we know, like, I know the low post heads basically out there by that greeting. So no, it's all fun.
I remember when we put the first episode out that we did, a couple people also commented that. Like, even
so, I guess we should say, what up, Beck?
What up? I mean, if I have to start every conversation that way on the NBA for the rest of my career, I think I'll be okay.
You're fine with that.
I'm good.
well, Howard, there's been a lot that's been going on, a lot that has been up, in the NBA. I guess the first thing I'll ask you, because this is going to be an NBA sort of preview season podcast. What did you make of this offseason? A lot of stuff, very interesting. A lot went on. What did you make of this offseason?
My contrarian take is that it really was kind of ho-hum in a lot of ways. And I don't mean like it's no big deal that Kawhi got traded or that, LeBron James went to the Lakers. Those are big deals. However, I think what I mostly go into the offseason wondering each year is what's changing the dynamic? What's changing the balance of power? Did anything? And I don't think anything did. Like, DeMarcus Cousins, people went apoplectic about Cousins to the Warriors. folks, if, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the Warriors, like, lapped the field years ago. I know they did lose a title in the midst of that four-year run. Mm-hmm. It was close. I know that the Rockets got them to a Game 7 and had a better record in the regular season last year, but the Rockets lost some key pieces. The Warriors were already way better than everyone else. They have one of the greatest lineups, possibly the greatest lineup in history, and two recent MVPs, blah, 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 blah. We know the whole deal, four All-Stars.
why be mad at DeMarcus
getting
Cousins?
Getting an injured DeMarcus Cousins coming off of one of the most difficult, challenging injuries to come back from is not the thing that's tipping the scales at this point. Come on, folks. Like we may see him by March or April, maybe, and we may not see much of him, and he's not going to be the difference between the Warriors winning a third straight title or not. That part, toss that one overboard. LeBron going to the Lakers is huge. It's huge for the Lakers, clearly. Mm-hmm. It's big for LeBron. It will eventually be something that might be really interesting once somebody else gets there. But nobody else has gone yet, right? Kawhi didn't join him. Paul George didn't join him. They've got some interesting pieces. They will be much better. They'll be a playoff team. They might even be a high playoff team. They're not the team that's taking out the defending champions. And then, you know, in the East, things change because Cleveland is now irrelevant. Sorry, Cleveland.
Ooh, so you're not rocking with Tristan Thompson?
I was going to say.
His predictions?
He doesn't think so.
You're trying to be good. You're trying to be nice there, Howard. I see.
I get where he's coming from. Technically, Tristan Thompson is correct. They're the champions of the East until they're not. However, it's a ludicrous take, Tristan Thompson.
Will they even make the playoffs?
That's an interesting question. Let's bookmark that and come back to it.
Because we're going to touch that.
To complete this thought, like, yes, a lot of really interesting stuff happened in the offseason, but nothing really changed to me the balance of power because the Warriors are still the best team in the West and maybe even by more than they were before, not because of Cousins, but because the Rockets, I think, stepped back a little bit.
Right.
You know, the Thunder, the Jazz, there's some interesting teams, but I don't know that anybody's built to take down the Warriors. It's still the case where the Warriors will only be undone by injuries or their own boredom and lack of engagement. And then out East, you know, Boston, Toronto, Philly were the teams we had an eye on anyway if LeBron was gone, and it's that same group.
Yeah.
It's a little different, and we'll see what Kawhi brings and whether or not he's fully healthy and fully engaged and invested in Toronto and all that stuff. But ultimately, I didn't feel like a new power was born somewhere or that one of the existing second-tier powers got that extra piece they needed to knock off the Warriors. Would have been really interesting to me would have been if, you know, Milwaukee got that second star to go with Giannis, or if the Pelicans got that second star, or, you know, third, all due respect to Drew Holiday. But, like, if the Pelicans got that other piece that they, like, I'm waiting for those teams that have, like, great young players that are, you know, all-stars or MVP candidate types, like Anthony Davis and Giannis. I want those teams to get that other guy to you know, elevate them to that next stage. Like, that would be interesting. If the Lakers had gotten another star or two to go with LeBron immediately, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that there aren't intriguing storylines and that some you know, important things didn't happen in the offseason. It did, clearly. But the overall picture of the NBA is largely unchanged.
I will say this, though, about the East. I don't think they're going to be one of these top three teams we talk about, but I do think Washington's a little more interesting now. Just because they have Dwight Howard, Otto Porter's got another year under his belt, another year of Bradley Beal and John Wall. Although I feel like it can go the other way entirely.
Drama. Could be drama.
Yes, it kind of just blows up. So I guess it's more interesting from a standpoint of being interesting as opposed to how it works out on the court. But yeah. I do think that's something to watch for them being maybe that potentially dangerous four seed if everything works out.
One of my disappointments of the offseason, and this is easy for me to say because I'm not the guy, I'm not the one who has to deal with the consequences of making these bold moves, but I wanted to see whether it was Portland breaking up Dame and CJ or Washington breaking up Beal and Wall.
Yeah.
Like, some of these teams that feel like they've just kind of plateaued needed to do something dramatic, and they still haven't. And listen, it's hard to make trades in the NBA, and those are risky deals because you're trading an all-star. You're thinking, like, is this as far as we can ever get with these guys, or is there still – can we keep patching it up around the edges? Can we fill in – is there another step for those guys to take? Can their chemistry get better? But after a while, you feel like, you know what, this is just who you are, Washington. Okay, you got rid of Gortat, who, you know, butted heads with John Wall, so you kind of cleared up a chemistry issue there. But then you brought in Dwight Howard.
Who butts heads with everybody.
who every team for the last 5 years can't wait to get rid of. Like, so I'm not sold on Washington as being any better than they were, and I'm disappointed that they didn't find some bigger, bolder move to make. You know, Portland may not make the playoffs in the West.
Really?
They might. No, they might.
I think that's a little. We'll get to that later.
It is possible, though, now that
it's more than possible. I mean,
because a couple teams have to drop out in order for, like, the Lakers to get in and one of the other teams to get in. So,
yeah.
Portland makes the
Howard, I'm with you. I think I have them out right now. We'll get to that later.
I like Damian Lillard a lot, though. And CJ McCollum also. But other than that.
Right. And it's not and that's the thing. The second you start getting these discussions, it's like, oh, you're disrespecting Portland. It's not that, folks.
Yeah, it's not.
They were third in the West, but they were like one win or loss away from being like seventh in the West or something.
Yeah.
Like it was that close. So it's not even that, oh, this precipitous drop. No, it doesn't take that much to drop. And the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I think Denver's going to make the playoffs. Two teams have to fall out.
Yeah.
One of them is going
to
be Minnesota after
Absolutely.
They trade Jimmy
we'll
Butler.
We'll get to that in a second.
So that maybe takes care of itself.
Yeah.
But somebody else has to drop out, folks. And, you know, I'm fine if anybody says, no, it's not Portland. It's actually going to be, you know, New Orleans. It's actually going to be
maybe
whoever. Oh. Like, pick a team. That's fine. But I am convinced that the Lakers and Denver are getting in, and somebody else has to go out. And Portland has basically been the same team for the last couple of years in terms of personnel. They no major changes for them in the offseason.
Yeah.
Yep.
If everybody else is getting better, look, even the bad teams got better. Like, so the Lakers were a bad team that got incredibly, dramatically better.
Yeah.
Dallas got better. I mean, I don't know how long Harrison Barnes is going to be out now, that injury that just came out.
Yeah.
But if and they don't have depth, but still, if Luka Doncic is as good as a lot of us think he is,
like Dexter,
I'm very high.
I'm buying Doncic stock.
I am too.
And he's prepared because he was playing professionally in Europe for years already. So you take the combination of him, year two of Dennis Smith Jr., Wes Matthews. Now they got DeAndre Jordan, and then Harrison Barnes. Like, that's a pretty nice starting five. That's not that team might make the playoffs in the East.
I think they would.
I think they would, too.
So,
and Dirk is your sixth man.
And look, Dallas is not going to make the playoffs, all right? But I'm just saying they got better.
Yeah.
Phoenix should be better. The Lakers are better. There's three lottery teams in the West who are at least a little better than they were a year ago. Sacramento's going to be at least a little better than they were last season.
Yeah.
Memphis with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol healthy again. And Chandler Parsons in Players Tribune telling us he's ready to go.
But that's what everybody says at this time of year.
That is right. You know, but Memphis will not be a 23-win team or whatever again. Right. All those teams got better. That's going to – so a team like Portland that was, like, you know, really good but not – great and didn't do anything else to shore itself up. Like, yeah, they're vulnerable.
And they also got swept in the playoffs. And
they got swept by
New
Orleans.
Yeah, they got swept in the playoffs by New Orleans, and they lost depth in Ed Davis and Shabazz Napier, who Damian Lillard was not very happy about.
Yeah.
So we
talked. You touched upon Minnesota, and obviously, this is what everybody wants to know right now.
Or
maybe not.
It takes us all like 3 days of immersion in any news story to get fatigued. Of it.
Yes. Yeah. and now we're seeing reports saying late last night. We're seeing people fake reporting. I'll put it as that, saying that there's a deal close with the Rockets and all this other stuff. Which, look.
There was a deal close with the Nets, somebody else reported.
Yeah, none of the stuff that I think is credible, Howard. But how bad is the situation there in Minnesota right now? Because it seems like who's making decisions on the trade? Is it Glenn Taylor? Does Thibodeau have control? And where do you think Jimmy Butler will go?
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this before. I mean, certain pieces of this we've seen before. Okay, yeah, sometimes the front office and the ownership aren't on the same page. Yep. Sometimes front office and coach aren't on the same page. Mm. Sometimes a star gets disgruntled and wants – like, all these little the individual details of it we've seen somewhere else before. The combination, though, and because of when this is all happening, with training camps having already begun, and this started to unfold right before training camps began, that part we haven't seen. The complete divide between what ownership wants to do and what the front office / coach, which in this case is the same person, wants to do, and the clear divide within the locker room, too. I mean, listen, you don't let Jimmy Butler stay home just because we're going to try to trade you. It's also because
Andrew Wiggins doesn't want to see him in the locker room right now.
nor does Towns, seemingly.
And yes.
Look, everybody can downplay it all they want to, but when Karl Anthony Towns signs an extension, finally, that he could have signed weeks ago, and signs it just after it's finally public that, oh, yeah, we're going to end up trading Jimmy Butler. I'm sorry. Mm. That ain't coincidence, folks.
I didn't. You know, it's funny. I hadn't even thought about it in like that.
Yeah, me neither.
It's, you know, that like sometimes things are exactly what they appear to be.
Yeah.
So there's an incredible amount of dysfunction going on there. Minnesota's the last team. Put Pop to the side on this one for a second because he's an exception to himself. Minnesota's the last team to still have the dual coach GM thing going on, or coach president thing going on with Tibbs. Stan Van Gundy's out in Detroit.
Yep.
Doc got stripped of his front office powers in L.A. a year ago. Budenholzer lost hold on the dual citizen, the dual role, and then lost his Atlanta citizenship, and was banished to Wisconsin. So everybody else who has held the dual role in recent years, it's over. This era, as short-lived as it was, I think is just done.
I'm glad.
Pop is the lone exception. He should be the lone exception, and besides that, R.C. Buford plays a massive role in all that. It was a mistake for any of these teams to try it, and Minnesota's the last one still holding on to it. So if Tom Thibodeau were just a GM, he would be all in favor of trading Jimmy Butler, knowing that he has an untenable situation. But he's not. He's the coach who's going into year three, and his own rep and job are on the line, and he's looking out for himself
as
a coach.
And this is a player he loves that
right.
embodies what he's about as a coach.
Right, but that, you know, that guy's going to walk next summer. He's made it clear. So the only rational solution to this is to trade Jimmy Butler and get whatever you can. I know you gave up a lot to get him just a year ago. You rolled the dice. We all thought it was a worthy dice roll a year ago. Every single one of us, I don't think anybody criticized it on the Minnesota side. There was plenty of criticism on the Chicago side. But on the Minnesota side, we all said, wow, great deal. I'm not going to abandon that position and say that it was wrong. I will say, however, that you know, it's easy for me to say as a pundit, you are the GM who made this deal. You knew there was some risk involved because of the contract and other potential issues with it. You crapped out on it. You barely made the playoffs, and now Jimmy wants out. It is blowing up in your face, but you just have to make the best of it. And that's the difference between being just a team president or president and coach, because it's a much clearer path forward when you just have one role or the other. And I mean, other people have written this, I think, very eloquently. At some point here, push is going to come to shove, and either Glenn Taylor's got to fire Tibbs or remove the team president title or something, because you can't have these competing agendas from ownership, which is trying to take the long view and say, you know what, our path forward is with Towns and Wiggins, and I got to get what I can for Butler. You can't have ownership saying that while the front office / coach is trying to do something else.
So you just brought up something and saying, hey, look, you guys have to kind of do what you can do here if you're the Timberwolves. What can they do, Howard? Because every other team knows that this guy doesn't want to stay. They don't really have any of the leverage here. What can they do as far as a trade?
Yeah, no, it's like a distressed asset. You can't get back the same value you got a year ago or that you paid to acquire a year ago, right? Like, so they give up, you know, Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine. It was a pretty decent package. And are you going to get anything like that back?
No. They're reportedly trying. They apparently asked for, like, Ben Simmons, and then, obviously, you know, everybody wants Caris LeVert on the Nets side.
Look, Jimmy Butler's a top 15 player in the league, and if you've got Jimmy Butler and you have to trade him, yes, on principle, if you're the team that has him, you should get everything you can for him, and you should try to get the value that a top 15 player merits. But it's never that simple. Context matters, and in this case, the context is everybody knows you're over a barrel and that you need to get this resolved quickly, especially, by the way, compressed preseasons now. So if this were the old NBA 2 years ago, you'd have a month to sort this out
and say,
there's no urgency. Season starts in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much time. And whoever you do get back, that guy or that group of guys is going to probably have missed 1, 2, maybe all of your preseason games.
Yeah.
That's not exactly ideal for a team that's trying to just make the playoffs for a second straight year, that barely squeaked in last year and is playing in a conference that's only gotten tougher. So, yeah, they are over a barrel. Other teams are absolutely aware of that and trying to take advantage of it. No one's going to give them a sweetheart deal. And there's only a certain number of teams that really would want to be in it anyway. I mean, I think for teams like we're in New York, right? So the Nets and the Knicks. If the Knicks had a healthy Porzingis right now and he were playing at a you know, all-star-ish level, mm-hmm. all right, Jimmy's the guy who puts us back in the playoffs. Jimmy and Porzingis together, boom.
Yeah.
Easy decision to make.
Can I ask you a question?
I'm not sure who you trade for him, but easy decision to make.
But, and I had this conversation with Brian, in terms of saying that with the Knicks, but is he the guy you want to pay max money?
Well, see, that's the thing. Right.
No.
Okay. So there's this whole right. So there's this whole other thing. Jimmy's yeah. Jimmy's age, the fact yep. that he does seem to be a little bit of a difficult guy to incorporate for good reasons, by the way. Like, I admire the hell out of Jimmy in this regard. Like, he's all about the right stuff. Mm-hmm. He's about the right things. And when Kobe acts that way, or when Jordan acts that way, and they're kind of imperious and hard driving and everything, we just go like, they're a man's man. This is leadership. Jimmy Butler does it, and all of a sudden everybody's like, whoa, hey, slow down, guy. You're upsetting the youngins.
Because he hasn't accomplished as much. I guess
true.
I guess that's
fair.
Why on their yes. on their end of it. Not that I care.
Yeah, no, but. Fair. But like, I just want to stipulate: Jimmy is about the right things, so
yes.
I'm not going to hold that against him at all.
I'm with you on that. Yep.
But yeah, you do have to take into account though the tensions that were present in Chicago and Minnesota. It's only fair and reasonable to take that into consideration. His age. A little bit of his injury history. The mm-hmm. fact that he's played a bazillion minutes.
Thibodeau Miles.
Over 15,000, I think, for his career
wow.
so far.
So those are
and
things that matter.
He didn't even play that much the first two seasons.
And by the way, I'm not saying it's a no-brainer that like the Knicks should trade for him if Porzingis were healthy. And by the way, Porzingis isn't healthy, so it's an irrelevant
right.
hypothetical.
Right.
I'm just saying I could see if you have the one star, the young star, and he's the guy who's the veteran star to put you over the top, especially after years of not making the playoffs, okay, maybe I see that. For the Nets, it doesn't make any sense to me because they're starting
agreed.
At ground zero, and they've got $70-whatever million in cap room next summer.
Yeah.
They've got a different plan. They can afford it's nice to have the one star in hand to attract the others, but it's better if that guy's 26 instead of 30.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of teams like that around the NBA where it's just like it's not the right time. I'm not even sure it makes sense for Miami to get him, by the way. Miami right now is somewhere between – can we all agree Miami is somewhere between 6th and 8th in the East?
Oh, absolutely. Probably closer to 8th. But yeah.
Right, right.
If
the,
that.
Well, they were – but that's where the range they were in last year, right? Bottom half of the playoff bracket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they get Jimmy Butler – they're still in the bottom half of the playoff bracket.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Because they'll have given up a couple of pieces, and they're not going to be – Jimmy Butler plus whatever's still left in Miami is not going to be better than Milwaukee, is not going to be better than Indiana, is not going to probably be better than Washington unless Dwight really tears them down.
Yeah.
So what's the point of the exercise? You're in the exact same place you were.
I think with Miami – and look at what you would have to give up, right? There's Bam Adebayo, who would probably have to be part of that deal, who actually looks like he can be good. I was very high on him coming out of Kentucky. Josh Richardson might have to be part of that deal. Would you have to include Hassan Whiteside because of the contract situation?
I think you want to because you want to get rid of him.
You want to, but I don't think – but here's the thing. I don't think Minnesota does that. But we were talking about this the other day, and I think Miami's sort of logic is that with Pat Riley, you know, he's just an old dude who, like, every year he just wants to win. And we kind of see this all the time where he doesn't really want to take the time to develop draft picks. He kind of just wants to go after it every single year, talking about getting a whale and Kevin Durant and things of that nature. So I guess this might be a whale for them if they were to get involved. And then with the Nets, I don't think it makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm glad Howard said that. I don't think it makes any sense for the Nets.
No.
We have a lot of Nets fans out there excited. They want this to happen. And Knicks fans.
And
too,
a lot of
Nets
fans that don't also.
Yeah, I don't think
a lot of Knicks fans
sense.
That don't
do you,
also.
Do you see a team that this makes sense for? Because we kind of went through some teams.
That's true.
Is there a team that this makes sense for, Howard?
I mean, I'm going to go back to something I alluded to like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that either of these teams necessarily have the goods to do it. Although, frankly, again, it's a distressed situation, so maybe he'll go for pennies on the dollar, or at least for less than we think. But the two teams that I think make the most sense, just conceptually, forget the trade ESPN trade machine, forget whether to stop going to your salary sheets as I say this, and whether they have the assets. Conceptually, the two teams that make sense to me are Milwaukee and New Orleans, the two teams that have these MVP knocking on the door MVP candidates in Giannis and Anthony Davis, who have kind of maxed out a little bit with what they have, who have a difficult path forward in trying to – these are not destination cities. These are not places where the top free agents are going to go.
Right.
You have to make trades to get other guys in. You're capped out. Like, Jimmy Butler and Giannis would be really good.
Yes,
Jimmy
like
Butler
that.
With Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis would be really good. And so this is where you get to the part, well, how do you do it? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I've got the trade to make right now. I'm just saying if you ask me where I would like to see him or where he actually makes sense, because that's the thing. Where he makes sense is where he's not necessarily the number one, even though he wants to be the number one. I feel like he needs to be a co-number one or a number two, a really important number two.
I'm going to pull up the trade machine right now.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Be like Howard, stay away from it.
But those are teams where he makes a difference and where they're at a different stage of development. They're already good, solid playoff teams that just need that other all-star to catapult them into contention. And so those are the teams that make sense. I don't think, because of Jimmy's age and then the other things we've talked about, he's not the guy that, like, a team that's starting from scratch, like the Nets, acquire to start building around, right? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. You hear, you're the first person I've heard mention Milwaukee or New Orleans, and I think they would be good fits because I do agree with you that those teams in that area of development, it's perfect. He's a guy that could put them, I don't want to say over the top to win a championship, but closer to contention than they are now.
Right, yeah, they become legitimate part of the conversation, right? And Minnesota was the perfect fit a year ago in the sense that they had two young stars who weren't quite ready to lead that franchise where it needed to go, and Jimmy was the older star veteran who we thought could complement and help raise them up. And, yeah, that made sense. So, but there aren't that many teams like that. All right. So, you know, you start going through the list. Like, does it make sense for the Kings? No. Does it make sense for the Suns? Maybe, probably not. Mm-hmm. The Spurs, maybe. You know.
What about Portland? But they probably have to give up McCollum a little.
I don't think they have enough to get that.
Well, that's the thing. Portland, that's the thing. It's going to cost you one of the two guards. And if you're ever going to break up that backcourt, you got to be really careful with what you get back. Like, yeah. You do not do that. Like, that's not a decision you can do the wrong way. You've got to make the exact right call there and get exactly what you need, and it should have some longevity to it. And so, again, if you're worried about Jimmy's age and mileage and injury history, that there's a little bit of risk there. But that's the kind of bold move that I think that, you know, a team like that maybe needs to make, or maybe that Washington needs to make. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Beal for Butler, you know? I don't know. This is where we get in trouble because this is where everybody starts like going to the trade machine, or they start, you know.
Howard Beck I'm already there.
Howard Beck said Beal for Butler. Yeah. Now the
would the Bucks trade Chris Middleton? No, right?
I don't think they want to.
What? Listen, if you could keep Middleton and have Middleton, Butler, and Giannis,
I like that.
That
I like
would
that
be
team.
Fantastic. But if you're Minnesota.
Together? You think they could play together?
Sure.
They kinda,
oh, okay. Yeah. No, for sure. Butler and Middleton can both guard twos and threes.
Yep.
Giannis can play one through whatever. Right. If there were 17 spots on an NBA lineup, Giannis would play all of them.
At the same time.
So I think the three of them would be fantastic together. I do think, though, that if a trade, you know, the hypothetical trade with Butler going to Milwaukee, if you're Minnesota, you're asking for Middleton most likely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I would think so.
There's not much to ask for off that roster is the problem.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The thing I don't like about the trade machine is you can't add picks. So then you kind of have to tweet it out and just be like, oh, and put a first round pick here, and then it's like awkward. No.
Yeah, I tend to stay away from the trade machine.
Me too, but it's just, you know, everybody screenshots their, hey, this works, and then they trade up, you know, Caris LeVert and like, I don't know, Damari Cowell for Jimmy Butler. Which is probably what the Timberwolves want, actually.
But yeah, who knows? All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk to Howard a little bit about who he thinks is gonna make the playoffs in each conference. Get his thoughts on what he thinks the Lakers could do this year and the Warriors. More of that coming back on the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast.
It ain't hard to tell where to get the latest merchandise from Backpack Broadcasting. Gear is now available via TeePublic. Visit the Backpack Broadcasting TeePublic online store to get shirts, hoodies, mugs, and phone cases. Represent your favorite Backpack Broadcasting shows, including The Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, and of course, the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Check out the special offers for our podcast listeners at http://t.pub/lic/backpack. Get in the game with your official Backpack Broadcasting gear today.
Welcome back to Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca, and our guest, back, friend of the podcast, senior, making sure I say the title right this time.
Oh, yeah, we established that in the first
segment.
Senior
NBA writer of Bleacher Report. It is the great Howard Beck. He is back with us. He seems uncomfortable with the word great.
Yeah. Also, the overemphasis on senior citizen is what I'm getting used to.
So. Wow. Man. See, that doesn't make me look forward to anything at all whatsoever. I already have certain people younger than me, like Brian, call me old, and that's a whole nother thing.
I don't call you old. I just say things that make you feel old.
That's true.
Because we'll go back at things and be like, yo, I was 6 when that happened. And he'll be like,
I was starting college.
I was 18.
Thanks. Yeah. So that's that. I'm sure you experienced a lot of that.
Well, I've told this story before that when I was covering the Lakers when Derek Harper played one season there, the lockout season.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Harp was like the old head of the Laker locker room. And I think he was maybe 34, 35 or something.
Wait, Derek Harper or Ron Harper?
Derek Harper.
Oh, my God. Man.
Ron Harper got there later, but Derek Harper was there for the lockout season. And great dude. One of the favorite guys I ever covered, Derek Harper, great guy. But he was the old guy in the locker room, and I was just younger enough than Derek Harper to when I would walk up to him in the locker room and say, "What's up, old man?" And I thought that was really funny. And Harp having a good sense of humor and being a good guy, would like he just rolled with it. He wasn't like, you know, he wasn't going to snap back or anything. He was cool with it. And then sometime years later, I realized I had gotten well past the point where I was calling him old man. And I have since lapped that by a ton. And so, yeah, I feel like now I feel
that,
like.
That puts everything in perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Harp. My bad.
For you.
All right. So it's episode 44. We always like to pick a number for an athlete. What episode? I pretty much know who
I know
it is.
Who you're going to pick.
All right. But we're going to give it to Howard. You have to pick one great. No, ooh. We always like to ask our guests. We have one great athlete all number right. Who should represent 44. Who are you picking?
I'm going to throw some names at you. Not all of them are equal, and you'll know why right away.
They are not all equal.
So we're going to start the bidding with Sean Bradley.
You can't say Sean Bradley without laughing. Like, no, you could no, have you like can't. Your the preface for this conversation
that's
could
so
have
true.
Been anything, and like we're gonna start with Sean Bradley, we would have all laughed.
That's
I
so
agree.
True. That's why Joe Budden was mad that Jay-Z compared him to Sean Bradley in that diss record.
Yes.
Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, not the
not a bad choice.
George Gervin.
Oh, that's a good one.
Chuck Hayes, my favorite free throw routine of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that one?
I do.
Yeah, with the hitch. Rick Mahorn, Jerry West, Jason Bay. I just did that to mess with Dexter. Probably the worst Mets signing ever. And Hank Aaron. That's who I think you're going to pick.
Oh, that you're wrong. You're actually wrong.
Really?
You're wrong in that.
Really?
You thought I was going to pick Hank Aaron. No,
yeah.
I'm actually not going to pick Hank Aaron.
Okay, so you're going with George Gervin?
No. Jerry West.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the logo?
No, Jerry West was a bad man in his day.
So was Hank Aaron.
So I'm not saying that, but I'm going basketball over baseball. I'm a basketball guy, so I'm going to go with Jerry.
Basketball podcast, it's right?
Yeah. Well, we do other stuff.
Well,
yeah,
kind of.
But this podcast is based on basketball.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to go with the basketball guy. How are you going to have Howard Beck up here on a basketball podcast?
I don't know. Maybe
and not
you're
go with
big,
the basketball person.
Maybe you're a big Hank Aaron fan.
No.
I don't know.
Howard, we're leaving it up to you. What do you think? Pressure's on.
No, that is a lot of pressure. Also, I'd never want the logo mad at me because, like, he's one of the few people who, like, I'm actually scared of. Like, you know, Jerry West is an intimidating presence.
Jerry West can listen to this podcast, so and Howard sees him at some event, like an All-Star game, and he's like, Howard,
you know,
44, and you didn't pick me?
Before,
seriously?
Before, I would have said he'll never listen to this, but at the way we're moving,
you never know.
You never know. You never know.
So I take it that you're with Jerry West.
Well, Jerry West
out
is
out of fear
is
and respect.
I was at last night. I was at the there was a preview premiere of Basketball: A Love Story, the great film by Dan Flores that is now rolling out soon on ESPN. It's 20 hours over 10
I
nights.
I saw you posting about that. And Adam Silver.
It's absolutely phenomenal. And Adam Silver. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I've only seen this 2 hour segment of it from the premiere last night. I played a tiny, tiny role in this. I was one of many people that were drafted to help do some of the interviews.
Okay.
So I know how great this thing is going to be, and I've seen enough of it to know how great it's going to be. And so I bring that up because among the scenes last night was a lot of George Gervin, some Jerry West in there.
Hmm.
But Gervin is the most delightful, one of the most delightful personalities in the history of the NBA. I've only spoken with him once or twice. The man is just—he's got this infectious laugh. He's funny as hell. He's warm. He's got this charisma about him. Like he's just there's something about George Gervin just pops that I wish. Like you know, you always think about guys you would have loved to have covered, games you would have liked to have been at. Man, it would have been fun to have like actually seen him up close back in the day and cover him. So with all due respect to the logo, who I, you know, covered early in my career when I was a Laker beat writer and everything else, Gervin, and with the reminder last night of a lot of the footage of him and going for the scoring title and everything and that whole story, like, I'm gonna go with Gervin for the sake of this.
You know what? We're going with Gervin.
Okay.
Because Howard, and I also did interview Gervin myself.
Really?
And he, yes.
This I don't know.
At a, it was like an NBA Fit event that he did. Okay. A couple years. Really nice guy. Great energy.
Yeah.
And felt
that,
the same
that,
way.
And that laugh, right?
Yeah. He was just.
Oh man.
He was into it. It was for kids, and I was there. I was doing stuff for News 12, and he just really was into it with the kids. Really good guy. So I felt that same energy,
plus,
too.
He's the Iceman.
He's the Iceman, which is a great nickname.
It's a great nickname. He had that awesome poster from back in the day.
Yeah.
You know.
Now when we do our artwork, Matt, who does our artwork, he's going to have to put the Iceman on there with George Gervin. Like thumbnail
I'm
artwork.
I'm going to text him George Gervin.
There we go. So we have this is the George Gervin episode. See, you thought I was going to pick Hank Aaron. All right, moving on.
I swear you was.
You
like,
spoke.
I was 99.9%.
See, you don't
sure
know me like that.
Apparently not.
You don't know
apparently
me. You don't know how.
Wait till we get to 45. Wait till we get to 45 before I try to convince you to push Sean Bradley again.
That's not going
to
happen.
He wore it with the Nets.
That's not going to happen.
That's even worse.
That makes me laugh even more.
Can we rank Sean Bradley's? Let's not waste
time. Yeah, he's like, let's not waste time. Oh,
you know I'll do it.
Yes, you will. You spoke about Jerry West and the Lakers, Howard. We talked a little bit about the Lakers before. Obviously, LeBron going there. It's kind of ho-hum. People kind of expected that.
In a way.
But LeBron is there now, and they don't have another star, and it's a very interesting group of guys on this roster. What do you think they can do this season? Like, what do you see the ceiling of the Lakers being this season?
I think the ceiling is top four in the West, but I also don't expect them to get there. I think they're more like somewhere in that fifth, sixth range. Mm. High 40 win total. I think 50 would probably be pushing it. And here's the thing. Like, basic rule of thumb in the NBA, like, you never get bet against the Spurs. You never bet against LeBron. If LeBron James is on your team, you're making the playoffs. That's just automatic. Yep. I know he's in the West now. I know the West is really tough. I know they got kind of a weird roster, kind of. he's LeBron freaking James. The guy's still playing at an MVP level.
Yep.
And that counts for a ton. And you can never underestimate the impact that has on all the guys around him. And that, you know, when you have a guy like him, you could look at the rest of that roster and go, I don't understand. Does this make sense? Like Rondo and Lonzo and, you know, and Beasley and McGee and Lance and what? I don't understand how this all fits. Guess what? When you have LeBron, stuff makes a lot more sense. And we won't know it until we actually see it unfold on the court. But if you had taken a lot of those Cleveland rosters, especially the last one or the one from 2007, then you would have said, well, this team doesn't make sense either. Now, granted, without the volatile personalities or the big personalities, but I just having LeBron James with everything that he does at an incredibly high level and because of the way he gets people in the right places and makes the most out of them as a facilitator, everything makes more sense when you've got him as the focal point. So I have confidence that they will figure out how to deploy all of these disparate pieces and personalities. They will be a playoff team. How far they can go without a true second star is the question. And then the caveat to that is, well, maybe the true second star is Brandon Ingram. Maybe it's not about having not gotten Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. Maybe Brandon Ingram, as LeBron's wingman, all of a sudden takes that leap. Absolutely possible. Maybe it's Lonzo Ball, and I understand. Listen, you know, if LeBron's got the ball in his hands all the time, how do you get the most out of Lonzo? Again, they'll figure it out. LeBron can certainly thrive off the ball as well. He and Dwayne Wade certainly figured it out a few years back. So something else may emerge there that makes them better than what we could possibly assess them right now on September 28th or whatever this is.
There's a long way to go.
Yeah, I was actually thinking Brandon Ingram too, because like, think about what LeBron could do for him and make him sort of that 20-point scorer, make him that other star that he needs there before they get inevitably Anthony Davis.
Don't start the hype train.
Or Kevin Durant. He's Rich Paul is his agent now. I mean, like, when I saw that, I'm like, come on.
I'm not gonna go down there. The Warriors, you kind of touched on this before. Howard, is there anything that could stop him other than injury?
No, it's still the same as it's been for the last couple of years. It's, you know, age, injury, boredom.
Are you bored?
Well, we can all be bored as long as they're not bored.
As long as they're not, right.
I just don't see it. Like, somebody has to seriously degrade. And listen, that can happen, and nobody wishes it on them, and nobody predicts it. But the reason that teams don't generally go to four straight finals, I mean, I've had to point this out a couple times in the last few years because I think everybody's gotten too accustomed to the idea that this is normal. Four straight finals is not normal, folks.
No.
It hadn't happened since the 60s until this run where the Warriors and Cavs did it simultaneously. And granted, before that, Miami did it. But all of this is abnormal. If you roll back to before 2010, before the big three came together in Miami, you'd have to go back an awful long way to find teams that went, you know, even three straight finals was tough. Four was out of the question. The Warriors are now trying for five. Five straight finals. That's a lot of extra games. It's a lot of extra mileage. They haven't done a lot to refresh the roster along the way. I always point to the Bulls of the 90s that, yeah, Jordan and Pippen won six titles in 8 years together, right?
Right.
And the 2 years off, when Jordan had taken off for a bit. Six titles in 8 years. But around them, everything changed. Like,
yep.
The first cast around Pippen and Jordan and the second cast, they were different teams.
Yep.
And that mattered. And if you ask Phil Jackson or you ask Jordan and Pippen about it, that mattered a lot. Steve Kerr has talked about it, too. He was obviously part of the second three-peat. And what the Warriors have is a core group of not just, Curry, Clay, and Draymond, the three stars who have been there from the beginning, but Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. Like, that five-man core has been there from the beginning. And, you know, Iguodala, we've seen the mileage and the years start to take a toll on him. Even the guys who are younger, you know, look, they're all hitting, getting close to 30 or hitting that soon. So you can't predict when this catches up to a team, and
right.
And that to me is the big wild card. Do the Warriors still have on paper more talent than anybody? Yes, that was true when they clinched in June. It's still true today, and again, irrespective of Cousins. But the question is the unknown. And, you know, and also, by the way, like the Rockets, I don't want to underestimate what they did last year, getting the Warriors to a game seven.
Right.
And I know, look, there's the if Chris Paul had been healthy hypothetical. Well, if Iguodala had been healthy, there's the counter there.
Yeah.
And also the Rockets absolutely maxed out with what they had. And Chris Paul's another year older. You talk about the wild cards that we think about in these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul's at that stage where you don't know. Guards, especially smaller guards, one day you wake up and you just don't have it anymore. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Chris Paul today or tomorrow or this season, but you just don't know. And he's missed a lot of games too. So I don't know if the Rockets can replicate what they did last season. And when you brought in Carmelo, a very different player, for the loss of
Ryan smiling there
of you lost Ariza and Bamute, you bring in Carmelo, it's a different thing. So they're not,
that's a nice way of putting it.
They're not the same team.
What are your thoughts on Carmelo, Ryan?
No, I'm just, it's a different thing.
Oh,
I agree.
Okay. I didn't know if you had something to add to Howard there. That's why I was just like, Howard, is there any team?
Carmelo is just like one of those landmine words. Like, you throw the word Carmelo out, and all of a sudden we could be like
man, that is so true.
Right. So moving on.
I don't know how you guys feel about it. Are there any teams you think that can surprise? We kind of saw that with Utah last year. I think Utah is better than a lot of people give them credit for. They are so good defensively. I like watching them on League Pass. I found myself enjoying watching them a lot last year. Do you think there's any team that could surprise people, maybe come out of nowhere this year?
I mean, Utah can't surprise us again, but I do think that they at least – they're in the conversation to make the conference finals.
Okay.
Like, if Utah makes the conference finals, people will be surprised, but I think...
I wouldn't be, but I understand what you're saying.
I would.
Yeah.
I think I would. Because I'm probably going Lakers and Warriors that far.
Wow.
Just because my faith in LeBron is just, you know...
But go ahead, Howard. I want to hear why you think that, yeah.
So the Jazz, you know, look, and again, Rudy Gobert's injury history is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
When healthy, that team was playing. I can't remember what the win pace was, but it was really high. They had a great season despite Rudy missing whatever it was, a month and a half. so they've got this same core group coming back. Donovan Mitchell is, I believe, only going to get better. I think is a reasonable assumption. They should have a full year of Dante Exum now, who I think is a really could be a really important.
I like
piece
that
for them.
re-signing. I should say.
Yeah, no, Exum could be a really great piece for them because of all that he can do, guard multiple positions. He's really long. He can put the ball on the floor. Exum could be a great X factor. Like he's the kind of guy that people are overlooking already. Like they're not even thinking about him when they assess how good that team can be.
Yeah.
And you know the teams that are in that same strata of the West, Houston, as we talked about. You know, maybe they. I think they've already peaked. They're not hitting 65 wins again. They're going to slip back a little bit. Oklahoma's a little iffy right now because Russell Westbrook just had knee surgery again. And you know, and they were good but not great a year ago. Like they were solid, but like I don't know what the Thunder are doing to take that next step either. So like the path is open. Like the best case scenario for the Lakers, Brian, it's not crazy. I've heard. I think it was Griff who was on David Griffin on my podcast. Said he thought he could see the Lakers making a deep run. So
all of what you just said is pretty much why I have them going to the conference finals, because I don't think Houston's going to be better than they were last year, because I think. Probably not now, but somewhere during this monster contract Chris Paul just got, he's really going to take a step back.
Yeah, and probably not now, but
probably not
but
now,
eventually.
But maybe next year, maybe, yeah. Or, you know, God forbid this doesn't happen, but he may get hurt again because it's happened in recent years. And obviously Carmelo, I don't think, makes them better than they were last year.
The
way you're looking at it.
I don't know how I feel about the Carmelo thing. I don't know how you feel, Howard. I think he could. I have this feeling he's going to probably have a better season than he did in OKC. But my concerns with Houston are I think they got worse defensively when you lose Ariza, when you lose Mbah Mute.
And Oklahoma, other than that, mostly the same team.
Yeah.
With Schroeder swapping for Melo.
Right, and the Schroeder sign or acquisition all of a sudden becomes that much more important now that Westbrook is like recovering from knee surgery, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, like, oh, wow, that, you know, before you were thinking it was a nice pickup, now it's like now he might be essential for a bit.
And that's the thing with Westbrook is that at some point, he's another one. He can't play that same.
No.
This year, he'll probably be okay. He can't play this same way for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It was my fear with Derrick Rose long ago, and he ended up evaporating faster than
Good
Russell
point.
Westbrook.
Yeah,
that's true.
So,
Howard, with that all that being said, well, let's get to I know you probably have some playoff teams. Who do you think's gonna? Let's start with the Western Conference first, because we talked about how tough that is.
Yeah.
Who's in? Who's out? You give me your eight that's in. Who do you think's in for the Western Conference?
I'm going to stick with the list that I made when for my podcast with Ben Golliver.
Staying true to your word.
Not flip-flopping. I'm not going to veer, and nothing has really changed. Like, the Jimmy Butler situation is what it is, but I had Minnesota out anyway, even before that cropped up. So, more or less in this order, Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, Thunder. That's the top four.
Top four.
Okay.
And then I go Pelicans, Lakers, Spurs, Nuggets. And so just missing or just, you know, on the other side of that line, you know, the teams that are in contention but going to just miss, that would leave Minnesota and Portland. I don't feel great about that with Portland in particular. I feel like, you know, there's still a chance they make it, and maybe, you know, somebody underachieves. You know, maybe Denver doesn't make that next step that we're expecting them to take. But, you know, they were right there. Obviously, it went down to the last night of the season. But I think Denver's in. And, look, I'm a little soft on the Spurs. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I understand they had a really good season without Kawhi playing most of it. And so just adding in DeMar DeRozan, you say, well, that's already a plus. Yeah, maybe. But maybe. Danny Green was kind of important to them. And Tony Parker's gone. And I know he wasn't contributing a lot in the box score anymore. But, like, Manu's gone. It's a different team now. Like,
I agree.
The chemistry of that team. And again, it's the Spurs. As I said earlier in the podcast, never bet against the Spurs. Like, never count out any team that pops.
Yeah, I'm
coaching.
Scared to bet against them.
Yeah, like the Patriots.
But I'm just saying, like, right now I've got them, like, seventh-ish in the West.
But you're not solid strong on that.
I wouldn't put money on them making the playoffs just because there's enough change there that that I don't think we really know truly who they are right now.
I just want to ask one question. You talked about Dallas being better. Do you see them – I say a sort of upsetting the apple cart in some way in the fact that maybe they're in playoff contention until the last couple of weeks of the season? Or are they not that good and they're kind of like a 33-35 win team?
They're going to be like a really fun mid-30 win team.
Okay.
Like, I could see them being 35, even 37 wins or something. Carlisle coaches ass off because that's what Carlisle does.
Right.
And, you know, Luka, if he's as good as we think from day one, they got to have health and all the other things because they don't have any depth at all. But that starting five, their ideal starting five of, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., Wes Matthews, Luka, Harrison Barnes, DeAndre Jordan, and then Dirk the Legend coming off the bench in the sixth man of the
it's
year
not bad.
Campaign. No, it's like,
not bad at all.
It's solid. Like I say, the starting five at least I like and I could see potential in. But there's not enough depth there to really bank on them making a playoff push. But they'll be fun and they'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, I think they will be interesting.
Do you have eight from the West?
It's funny because my eight is pretty is literally the same as Howard. I don't have anything different. I had Portland, Minnesota out. I had Minnesota out before the Jimmy. Well, once we knew there was problems there,
yeah.
I was like, this is not going to work well. So my eight are the same. I think I have the Lakers a little bit higher. Like, I think you had them six, and I have them at five. Mm. It's really semantics when you're coming there.
Right.
Right.
And again, when people start listening to these and they start thinking, oh, you've got this team too low to it. Like, the gradations of difference in the Western Conference standings last year.
Yeah.
Like, again,
it's like three games or something right?
Yeah, so three through six or four through seven or whatever could all be very close together anyway.
Right.
So it's only going to take a couple wins here or there for teams to, like, for that to reshuffle. It's really more important about, like, who do you think is really that top tier, the top four and bottom four?
Yeah. And I think we agree. I think it seems like we all agree on that top four. And I'm very high in Utah. As you are, in that I wouldn't shock me if Utah made it to the conference finals. I would not be surprised by them because I just think they've been – I think Quinn Snyder's done a tremendous job. They've been trending in the right direction the last couple of years. And I get it. Nobody really wants to probably watch Utah play on League Pass. But I enjoy – you know.
Well, they will now because Donovan Mitchell's actually –
yeah, I enjoy watching him play.
He's a blast to watch. And plus, like, that team, if you like a certain brand of basketball where the ball moves and guys just make smart cuts and smart passes and whatever, like, that team's a lot of fun in that regard. And it's not just Donovan Mitchell. It's, you know, it's Joe Ingles.
He's a very good role player.
Yeah, and you know, Dante Exum's going to be part of that mix now again. Like, there's just – they just have good, solid basketball players who work really well together. And one guy who's a great offensive engine in Mitchell and one guy who's a phenomenal defensive anchor in Gobert. It's, you know, that's one of those teams that suffers from being called the Utah Jazz. Like,
That's true. If
you took that roster and put it in New York, Knicks fans would be going nuts about how awesome they were and everybody else would be like, sometimes this is actually about perception.
Perception and where you
and,
play.
And market
yep,
and all
market.
That stuff.
True.
Yeah,
no, I agree with that.
There's nothing dull about the Jazz.
Then in the East, I mean, there's pretty much like the same six. I feel like there's six givens, right? Mm-hmm. So you have Boston, you have Toronto, you have Philly, who we mentioned. I feel like Milwaukee's a given. I think everyone thinks Indiana's going to go back there. And then Washington, I guess, is also a given.
I think those are your locks.
Given on the talent alone. But then that's where it gets interesting. Or does it?
Or
really?
Does it? Or is it? Or is it really interesting?
But you know what I mean? Like, you pretty much have the rest of the nine, probably eight, because Atlanta is going to be bad this year. Like, I think Atlanta's going to be very bad. But other than that, you have two spots left for, you know, Miami, Detroit, Brooklyn. Maybe the Knicks if Kevin Knox.
No, that's not going to happen.
I'm trying to hype you up.
No, you're not going to get that out of me. before we get to that in year eight, you spent some time recently in Boston.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people of Boston is the favorites in this conference. How good do you think they can be? Are they in that – are we talking about 65 wins, Howard? Is that – realistic for the Celtics fans out there?
I try to be all about, like, nuance and not getting carried away, but I'm so all in on the Celtics. I do think they're a 65-win team.
Okay.
And that's given health, right? Gordon Hayward has to be Gordon Hayward again. He just missed an entire year, so that's a bit of an asterisk there, a caveat we got to see. Kyrie's coming back from knee surgery, but of what I saw of a couple of training camp practices, Kyrie looks phenomenal. So I'm not worried about him at all. I mean, they got to stay healthy, right?
Yeah.
But you expect Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford, these three all-stars who are perennial stars, we already know who they are. If they just are the same, and Jason Tatum played like a star last season, and he's only getting better, and Jaylen Brown is only getting better, and Terry Rozier was fantastic filling in for Kyrie that last couple of months, and now he's going to be in this super sub role. You got, you know, Marcus Smart coming off the bench, Marcus Morris coming off the bench. Like, they just – the Celtics 1 through 10 are – As good as anyone, and just in terms of depth. I'm not saying that makes them as good as, like, the Warriors when you talk about their 1 through 4, although, they're, you know, it's tempting just to look at it that way right
now.
It
is,
yeah. The Celtics have phenomenal talent and depth, a nice mix of vets and youth, a phenomenal coach, the momentum of having, you know, been to a game 7 against LeBron last year without their arguably two best players. Like, I feel like it's hard to overestimate them right now. It's hard to overstate how good they should be. And the only thing, the caveats going to that, aside from health, there's a chemistry thing there, right? Like, you got to reshuffle the minutes and, like, okay, if you've got all these stars and guys who are on the verge of stardom, can you keep everyone happy? But they've got a pretty good vibe there. Like, I feel like that team genuinely all likes each other, pulls together, is pulling in the right direction. I don't see... You know, once you get to like a couple years in with young stars, that's when the individual agendas can start to grind against each other. But right now, it's still early enough that I feel like those things will be held in check. I don't expect that issue. And then, you know, you're looking at like Philly, which maybe took a step back because they lost two key shooters off the bench and didn't really replace them. And Toronto, look, they won 59 games, best in the East. And swapped out DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard, who is better than DeMar DeRozan when both guys are healthy. But again, we didn't see Kawhi for most of last season. We don't really know what, you know, kind of shape he's in, whether he's still himself, whether he's truly engaged and invested. Kyle Lowry, I think he's going to talk today, but he didn't talk the first couple days of training
camp.
He's
not happy DeRozan's gone. That was his boy.
Yeah.
He's
so,
not happy
like,
about that.
By the way, that kind of matters. Like, Kyle Lowry is like, that's your rock on that franchise. And if he's not happy and he's been out of shape that DeMar got traded. Also, another guy who I hate to keep like bringing this up. It makes us like I'm putting all these guys in the grave. But like Kyle Lowry's another guy who's on that verge age and mileage wise. You know, as a guard who is you know, played a physical style and logged a lot of minutes. You don't know, you know, which year he's going to start to truly degrade. So I'm not as certain about what Toronto is because of the dramatic changes that have been made and because of all the unknowns about Kawhi. So we'll see. They might be the best team in the East. But right now, to me, it's Boston, and I think Boston can win 65 games.
To go to what Brian said. Brian had his locks of six. What do you have?
It's really the same. I mean, it's Boston, Toronto, Philly, and Philly, Toronto. I can flip in either order depending on all those variables. I think Indiana's the fourth best team in the East right now. I've even heard people say
you have them ahead of Milwaukee.
Yes.
Okay.
I've heard people put Indiana. These are NBA people put Indiana in the top three. Like they think they could actually like knock out one of the other. They might leapfrog Philly if Philly slips a little.
I'd like to see that.
Milwaukee,
I don't know if I would.
You know,
Philly's more entertaining.
Philly's definitely more entertaining. Milwaukee's right after them, right after that group. I'm slotting them fifth right now, but you know, that's another one where okay, they didn't add any major talent. They lost Jabari, which might have been addition by subtraction because I don't think the chemistry was good. They added Brook Lopez, who you know. We all know what Brook Lopez can do, but I think he's a tough fit in today's NBA because he's, you know, an old-school plotting big man. But he does shoot the three. He can protect the rim. Budenholzer will find ways to creatively deploy him. But but if that's your major pickup of the offseason, you haven't really moved forward in personnel.
They also signed – was it Ilyasova? They brought back Ilyasova, right?
Yes. That
was
one of which is a nice pickup too. And Budenholzer will make a difference, right? Like, he's a top-tier coach. He will make a difference. How big of a difference? Three wins, five wins, seven wins? I don't know. But the talent is the same as it's been in terms of personnel. So I don't know how far you can get because ultimately in this league, no matter how good your coach is – it's really about how many stars you got. So,
amen to that.
So they're right there. Washington after them. And then, the 7th, 8th. Miami by default is in there, as we kind of alluded to earlier. And so there's one spot open. And I feel like it's Detroit by default because there's nothing about Charlotte that screams playoff team to me.
No.
Orlando's not ready.
Nets.
The Hawks don't want to be good yet.
No.
Yeah.
The Nets will try their damnedest, and somehow if they actually landed there, it wouldn't surprise me just because that team, like, overachievement is now, like, like somewhere in the brand, right? Like, it's like Brooklyn overachievement Nets or whatever. Like,
I think they should
subtly put that in, like,
somebody's got to pay you for that. Like,
something.
Yeah. I objectively think that they, and I'm not a Nets fan, I just covered them, just full disclosure, but... I objectively think they could make the playoffs just because I'm not so sure about Miami just because, like, if they get Jimmy Butler, things can change. But with Hassan Whiteside there and still kind of trying that out, then you still have, you know, Deion Waiters, Bam, Josh Richardson. Like, I don't know if that's so much better than Brooklyn at their peak. You know what I mean? If D'Angelo Russell stays healthy, he's probably an all-star level player in the East. He was already on his way to becoming that last year when he was averaging 21-6 before the injury, even though he had four turnovers a game. And everybody in training camp, the big talk is Caris LeVert.
Yeah. Everybody's saying that he's unguardable. He's got so much
everybody
better.
Says that this time
that's
of year.
That's every year.
Everybody's
but
lost weight, improved something to the game, unguardable.
Gain weight also in the case of Deion Waiters, unfortunately. No, but he was coming back from an ankle injury. But with Caris LeVert, I mean, what's his next step? Averaging, what, 18 points, 6 assists at his peak? Is that something he could reach this year? Because he's going
to
be 24.
I don't know, but I guess we'd have to ask how. Is that enough to, if that happened, is that enough that makes Brooklyn interesting in the conversation for the last two playoff spots in the East? Like, is that race even interesting? At the end of the year, when you put on League Pass, are you going to want to watch that Detroit-Charlotte battle?
It is if it's a young team, though.
Orlando.
That's the thing. With Brooklyn, it could be interesting. If the Knicks were somehow to overachieve to that level, I feel like it can be interesting. But with Detroit, they're kind of in that situation like what you were talking about earlier. I mean, what's the next step? If you have Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, what's after
they're
that?
They're in NBA purgatory.
Yeah. How much? Yeah, they're in like the worst situation. They're in the middle. Yeah. They're in the worst situation possible. The Nets are at least ascending. The Knicks are at least ascending. With Miami, I'm not sure they're in a great situation either.
But Miami's got like a good, solid group. First of all, when we talk about teams that we know are going to be great just because of who's leading them, like Eric Spoelstra has never let that team slip.
That's
right?
True.
He has gotten everything possible out of that team. And they have not, you know, it's not spectacular young talent, but they have good, solid young talent between Richardson and Tyler Johnson and,
Bam.
You know, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
I think Goran Dragic is perennially underrated, and he did make the All-Stars, like, what was it, like, after the third replacement
third
he finally got?
Yeah.
But Dragic is a really good point guard.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
The guy was All-NBA third team, like, 3 years ago or so. Like, so there's more established, solid, reliable talent there and a bit of a bench that gives them an advantage over Detroit or Charlotte or the Nets or the Magic or anybody else that we're trying to figure out can make an eighth. So, like, to me, Miami is in.
Okay.
I don't have much doubt about that unless something crazy happens, something implodes. It's that eighth
with
spot.
With the Sonic hood.
Yeah, potentially. But so it's the eighth spot that's open. And, like, you know, we haven't seen a full season of Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, right,
sure,
as their core. And I think we just kind of presume that that group will be good enough in a week East to take the eighth seed. But, like, I would not put any money at all on that. Like, the Pistons, it's like I said, it's by default that you put them in the eighth spot. Mostly because I can't sell myself on anybody else. Like, if you said, if you were to tell me, Brian, that the Nets end up there, I'd be like, wow, they had a spectacular year and got to like 38 wins in
a
year.
I was going to say 37, 38.
Right, in a year, like, that happens in the East, right? Teams make the playoffs at 38.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not entirely crazy. I believe in Caris LeVert, actually. I'm like, I'm on the LeVert train. I'm not sure about D'Angelo Russell, if he's really going to be a perennial All-Star type, or if he's just a numbers guy. I think the jury is still out on him. I think the whole league feels that way about
him. I think we'll find out this year.
We'll find out.
I have to.
He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of intriguing pieces, but, like, there isn't that – there's no one to really say, like, all right, this is who we're built around. This is our engine. This is the guy that night in, night out we're relying on and makes everything else make sense. Like, they're not that team yet. And so I'm not – I wouldn't bank on that. The one thing I will say –
yeah.
I think the Knicks are 14th in the East. I keep looking at that roster. If Porzingis doesn't come back until late in the season, which I think is the likelihood,
yep,
that,
I think you should sit out.
They're terrible. Like, they're the Hawks are the only team I can bet on being worse than the Knicks.
I just pointed at Dexter.
Well,
just,
look, Howard knows I'm a Knicks fan, grew up a Knicks fan.
And I have a question. Yeah,
I'm not doing it, by the way, to pile on.
Howard, we've had many conversations,
but you're allowed
about
to
that
if
Knicks.
You want.
And, no, it's not piling on. I think they're going to be terrible,
but
too.
You want them to be
they
terrible
be.
Because they have
they
their
should.
Own pick.
They need another lottery pick.
I think they need another lottery pick. I think they actually did a good job with Knox. I think Knox is going to be fine. We'll see.
I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be all-rookie first team, probably. And I think that most rational Knicks fans want them to tank this season.
It's not even, you know what it is? It's not even about tanking. I'm just
you want RJ Barrett.
I'm not worried about the wins and losses. I'm just watching to see if players can develop. That's
yeah.
it. That's
yeah.
what I'm watching for.
And that's all last season should have been about. And instead, they kept trying to play Jarrett Jack. And like
yeah.
it was like last season was such a waste to me. Of like, listen, your future is Neal Akina and these other young players.
Yeah.
Just and Porzingis, just go with those guys.
Yes.
And then, you know, look, Porzingis.
You said
goes,
that when you came in the podcast. And just play Neal Akina. I asked
yeah,
you about that.
Play, yeah, yeah.
And Porzingis went down, and it's terrible. And you know, there is no history of 7'3" guys coming back from ACL, so we don't know what it's going to look like or what he'll be like when he gets back. And so, you know, we'll see. But as we sit here on the verge of October trying to figure out who the Knicks are as the season starts, you have to assume no Porzingis for the foreseeable future. And if that being the case, there's no one on that roster you point to and say, okay, this is what's getting them to, you know, 30 wins or something. I just I don't see it.
I don't see it.
It's a really bad roster right now with promise, right? Like I don't want to that's not to dismiss Nealakina's development or what Knox could become or anyone else. It's more to say that as they are right now, and we all know this, like it's very rare for a rookie, and this is the worst time to be saying this statement, but it's historically true, just wasn't true last year. It's really rare for a rookie to come in and lead a team to the playoffs.
Yes. And you're, right. Coming after Donovan Mitchell. Right?
Except for Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum. But other than that, it never happened. No, but like if you were to start before last season, like that was an axiom that was true with the NBA.
Yep.
Very, very rare. We had happened to have a year where three guys on three different teams played pivotal roles, and Tatum a little bit different. He wasn't the engine of that team, but he was an important piece of it. Ben Simmons was a second-year rookie in a way. Donovan Mitchell was just like – and also Donovan Mitchell joined a very veteran, established group.
Yes.
So while those were all unexpected and while those guys kind of counter that axiom, the axiom in general historically has held that in the modern NBA, when guys are coming in at 19 years old and one and dones, they're not ready to lead you anywhere. And so I'm not expecting that Kevin Knox is going to somehow lead the Knicks to the playoffs in year one.
Thank you for tempering the expectation, Knicks fan. I know we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, real quick, because we got to wrap up. We didn't mention the Bulls, and I think they could be maybe not in that mix, but they could be interesting. If Jabari Parker shows something.
Go ahead, Howard. When Golliver and I talked about this on my podcast, I actually made the case for why Chicago could be this like fun surprise team.
Because there's
just enough talent there. Like when Chris Dunn was healthy last year, he was really, really good. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we know what Zach LaVine can be when he's healthy. And Lauri Markkanen has been great so far and showing a ton of promise. And they've added Jabari into this mix. And they got Wendell Carter Jr. And so there's just enough intrigue there and enough talent that you think, well, maybe it all just kind of comes together and that team makes a huge leap. Maybe they grab the eighth seed. And then I ran that all by a team executive recently who was like, yeah, no.
I haven't agreed with that.
That's my reaction to Cleveland, to Tristan Thompson.
Yeah. it was kind of the you know, look, the fact is like Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker are just net minuses on defense and are always going to be so.
Yeah.
And that whatever offensive firepower they have or potency they have, you know, you look and it looks really intriguing to see all those names on the page and go and think about what they can do or what their stats could be. Mm-hmm. But it may not be the sum may not be as greater than the parts, or something like that, right? That thing.
Look it up.
And by the way, there are people out there who are making the case for Cleveland. I think they're crazy, but there are at least a few people making the case for Cleveland.
Oh, see Tristan Thompson. They're going to want to trade out there.
They're going to want to trade Kevin Love by December.
Well, they shouldn't have. Well, that's all.
That's why. Okay.
Real quick before we go,
you don't
Howard.
Trade players, you trade contracts.
Howard. Is there a champion pick for you other than the Warriors?
I hate being boring and predictable, but like I don't think there's a rational choice aside from the Warriors. I will say
Boston.
I think Boston's really, really good. Yeah. I think they're coming out of the East, and I think they are a team that is built to challenge the Warriors. I'm not saying that they will, but I do think that when you have the depth that they have and the versatility, that all that length, a bunch of guys who are, you know, tall, long, rangy, can switch every defensive assignment and they can switch 1 through 5, and Al Horford is the perfect big man for today's game who can guard 1 through 5, and Brown and Tatum can switch and Hayward can switch, and you know, Kyrie can guard 2s and strong enough probably to, you know, I don't want to guard a 3, but like I'm just saying there's a lot they can do with a lot of combinations. And Marcus Smart can do a bunch of stuff when he's out there defensively. And they, as I say, 1 through 10, they're really good. If there's the whole thing with the Rockets against the Warriors was that the Rockets could switch everything and just kind of like turn the Warriors into this stagnant offense that they don't want to be. The Celtics have that and then some, and they have better players than what the Rockets had last year overall, beyond going your top two, right? I'm not saying any of them are better than Harden necessarily, but the Celtics at their best look like they are built to challenge the Warriors. And so if there's an upset, I don't think it's going to be in the West, barring injury.
You think it'll be the finals of Celtics?
Or LeBron.
But could the Celtics beat them next June if they're as good as I think they are? That's a possibility.
Celtics Warriors is the prediction of the final.
I think we are all in agreement.
My flights are booked.
You know what? I think we're all in agreement there. Celtics Warriors. I don't know if that'll ever happen on a podcast here again, but Celtics Warriors.
Warriors in probably seven.
You know what? I'd like to see it.
You know
what?
Happen. Howard, two good cities. That's all I care about.
A little Boston, a little San Francisco.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that,
places,
right?
Places I like hanging out.
So can't be too bad. Howard, thank you for the time. You gave us more time than we even expected.
Nah, we're good.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Great NBA preview. And you'll be back to work, writing, working on some features and stuff.
Something, yeah. Feature coming, possibly about those Celtics coming out right before the season starts. Podcast, The Full 48. Be recording a new one on Monday.
Good.
And, look for that. And,
yeah, definitely look for that. Definitely also check out Howard's podcast. It is great. The Full 48, great name. Remember, check him out. Remember, he is the senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. We want to thank our guest Howard Beck for joining us on the A Heart to Tell podcast. I can't even talk right now.
Wow.
That's it for episode 44. Peace, guys.